an insider's perspective on Haiti, on family life's Faith Under Fire. Darren Hirsik is a New York State native, a current resident of Harrisburg, and an expert on global Christian mission leadership. Hirsik has firsthand experience in 10 nations, including 3 years in Haiti 3 years ago. The people there are dealing with the dangers and disaster of gang violence and the destruction of social structures in the past month or so, but Darren Hirsik says Haiti has repeatedly been caught up in upheaval for many decades. Haiti has been a nation that has been the subject of a lot of Christian mission work and outreach, government agencies, but especially churches in the United States. I know there are congregations throughout New York and Pennsylvania that have direct connections there. What has happened that is such a continual need? What have people been able to do, not over years, but decades, trying to help the people out? What's happened to that support?
I think that's a question we always get, like, you know, haven't we been putting money into Haiti for so long? And you know, when we were there during the earthquake, we would host a lot of visitors, and they would read that Haiti was going to either receive or was receiving $10 billion in aid. And they were shocked as they drove from the airport to our office, and they would say, why does it still look the same? And of course, I would say, well, because they're always in an emergency. And I share that because, you know, we would take people to sites and we see that grass field over there? Well, during the earthquake, we had a tent set up and we had doctors from the University of Maryland there, and we were doing emergency operations and we saved many lives. But now it's all gone. There's humans being restored, but there's no infrastructure change. It's now just a field. Or we take them to another site and we say, see that field over there? We had 800 families living in that field, and we had them in tents, and we housed them for 3 years until we could get them back into other structures. And of course, all that costs millions of dollars. And so when you're spending money on emergencies, well, I think emergencies take you back to where you were before the emergency. So if your infrastructure was poor before the emergency, it's still going to be poor. And I think that's the thing people need to remember. So what you really want to encourage people is to do development, you know, to work on things that are going to help improve the health systems, the education systems, or things like that will have lasting change. When we were in Haiti, we'd always say, you know, we would rather be working with cocoa farmers, helping to improve their yields and production, getting them into co-ops to get their product to market, instead of working on an emergency or working with, you know, cocoa farmers, coffee farmers, you know, any kind of farmer. That's where you're going to have a lasting change. So when you go back a decade later, a community looks different. For Haiti, they've continually moved from one disaster to the next. And they've gone from earthquake to hurricane to civil unrest to the next thing. And so, you know, disasters tear up infrastructure. When you watch the news and you see the chaos, they are a society, a nation in reverse. The government no longer has control. Which, you know, when I look at the countries that we're in, you know, some of them have gone through that and some of them are like one step from that. And that's why, you know, we always want to do what we can to improve systems and structures in the country. And I'll talk about the church in a little bit, but, you know, there are ways to do that. And so right now, pouring money into the next emergency response is really not going to help Haiti get one step closer to being a functioning, sustainable society. And so I watch the news. Yes, it is heartbreaking to see what's happening on the streets of Port-au-Prince. But in many ways, it doesn't look that different. The infrastructure has been deteriorating for years and years and years.
One crisis to the next. We never get to that proverb of you give someone a fish, they eat for a day, teach them to fish, they take care of themselves and others.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's a great verse to use because that's why I'm encouraging listeners to think about, okay, if we really want to help Haiti, yes, we need to help them through this crisis, but what's the long-term solution? It's working with systems and structures and long-term development. Long-term development, they use the term long-term because it doesn't happen overnight. That's where the big difference is going to be, and it's doing it with Haitians for Haiti.
Amid all this desperation and disappointment, what I know of you says you want to share a word of hope, too. Where is the hope
for Haiti these days?
You know, having spent 3 years there and now watching the news, the hope is where it was when we were there. And the hope is really the church. I often share with people that are traveling to Haiti or really anywhere else in where there's great need, I will share, you know, you may not recognize the local church. And of course they say, what do you mean you won't recognize them? I said, well, you know, you'll find that the local church in places like Haiti and others are doing things that we don't normally do. Like, for example, in Haiti, they're probably the largest provider of healthcare, the church. Or in Haiti, I'll just use an example, the Catholic Church, they counted them. The Catholic Church runs 2,315 schools. Now, then if you added the Protestant Church to that, you know, it's just the numbers are staggering. And of course, someone might hear that and say, well, have they lost their way? It's like, the answer is no, they're not. They're not competing with the local government. They're responding to a lack of local government. They're doing things that they have to do because they don't exist. And I think this is what we saw all around the world. We were in Sudan when the war ended and the peace process began. And I'm talking to one of our partners, Bishop Taban, and he would say, during the war, the church did everything except collect taxes. And what he was saying is, you know, the church ran the schools, it ran the health facilities, it mediated conflict, it gave people hope. And why? Because they were the last institution standing. And you think about sustainability, a 2,000-year-old institution is going to be there tomorrow. So it really gives me great hope. And I think, you know, going back to Bishop Taban, when the war ended, they asked him, a news person like yourself asked him, Bishop Taban, what are the people on the streets saying? And he said, the people on the streets want streets. They want to move from conflict to development, where we have roads and we can get products to market and we can move about in peace. And so, you know, it is the church that does those things. And so when I think about the church, you know, I also want to say, because the church leaders stay with the community during difficult times, which is happening in Haiti right now, church leaders have tremendous moral authority. They can get work done. They can direct actions. And I think that's a testament to them always staying with their people through difficult times. And I think really the church in places like Haiti and other places in the world really probably look like the first century church when really it was, yes, they're providing hope, but they're also taking care of people's physical, emotional needs as well. And so I think, to me, the church is really the great hope in Haiti right now.
Darren Hirsik served as a Christian mission leader in Haiti and 9 other countries. He has also led international development programs at Liberty University. We appreciate him coming to the Family Life Studios to give us an insider's perspective for Haiti now and his hopes for long term. This is Faith Under Fire, the Family Life news feature which gives voice to religious battlefields. I'm Greg Gillespie, Family Life News.